Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program, we like to call it Satsang, is for April 14th, 2018. And I am very grateful you chose to listen. As we're going to talk about the stuff. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff about the body and death and living and that whole thing. And I hope that you'll join me for this. I want to remind you, as I always do, that you are listening to this radio program via the kindness of the grace of my sponsors who make all this possible with their tax-deductible gift. It is only through their contributions that you and I are able to be together here on the radio. And I thank them with all my heart, and I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain Aspire through sponsorship. In your sponsorship, you help humankind. This radio program, my TV programs on the website at aspire.org, everything that is there that so many watch and listen to is there because of their contributions, because of sponsorship. So go to the webpage at aspire.org, and there you will see, obviously, a little department called support. It's right there staring you in the face. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it has to be. And if you click on it, a drop menu will come down, and you will get to see what it means to support Aspire, why support it. I answer the question, I show you how it all works, and you can sign up there for a sponsorship, and you will receive some really wonderful goodies for your sponsorship. One of them being the message of the month that I make each and every month. You can download it. In fact, you'll have access to all of the messages of the month that I've done over the years. You will have access to 122 wonderful discourses I've made about the TV programs, all of them, from the Tao to, Nobody Likes You Anyway, into We Know Not What We Do, all of those wonderful TV programs I did extra kind of discourses for. They're very, very important. They're much more detailed than the TV programs, so you might find those helpful. Plus, you get the podcast, video cast, and commentaries for each and every month. So it's all there for you as my gift, hopefully, that serves you well. Go take a look, aspire.org. Well, I sometimes get what I call edgy questions, and I enjoy them, frankly. I really do. And every so often, I think it's fun to put them on the air. Some of them are rude, lewd, and crude, and so I don't do those. But I do the ones that I think have meaning, purpose, and are edgy and sincere. And today, these are all sincere, a little edgy, not, you know, and maybe hit the point and help you in some way. The first one comes from Jason in Turlock, California. What is the meaning of doing anything kind or good in this world, Greg? It all eventually turns to crap anyway. I don't see the purpose. To me, it's every man for himself. Jason. Jason, you join a herd of human beings. Not a herd. It's even bigger than that. You join the collective unconscious when you sustain the idea that it does no good at all. I've been on the air for 43 years now, doing radio and TV. I've been doing it for 30-some years. Does it do any good? I could ask myself that question. Do I see it reflected in the world? No. I don't. But would that deter me from doing it? No. What kind of fool am I? As Sammy Davis sang in the 60s, I am the eternal optimist. Well, not really. I'm not. Here's the deal. We help because we can. We help because there's a need. Does it change the world? Probably not. Not as a whole. But the work that I do is very individualistic. It is about personal transformation. It is not about helping the world in the mass sense. It's in the individual sense. There are people out there who are doing and seeking the way. They don't make headlines. The people don't know much about them. People don't know much about me. You have to really search around to find these kinds of people that are doing this kind of good. And it is important because while it is rare, it is essential. And if you understand how essential this is and the rarity of it, then you understand, oh, see, I'm not trying to build a following. I'm not trying to get people to accept what I'm teaching. I'm not appealing to their logic and reasoning. Truthfully speaking, you have to be already ready for this. You have to be willing of a deeper, more profound way of living in order to understand the nature of this. So the meaning of doing anything, as you say, that is kind and good is a very important attribute. It helps you and it helps the people you are working with. It may turn to, as you put it, crap in their lives eventually. They may forget it. They may never pass it on. They may never understand it. But you've put a pebble in their shoe. And with every person that listens to this radio program or watches one of my TV programs or reads a commentary or watches a podcast or a video cast or whatever, I've put a pebble in their shoe. And for me, that is enough. If I can put a pebble in your shoe, then I have done my work, I have done my inner work, and I have served humankind. And the people that have helped me, believe it or not, to be on the air, to do all of this, they too share in that because of their kindness, their compassion. You help people you may never know by doing very kind things in this world. You have to understand that, Jason. You may never meet them, never. You may never talk to them. You may never see the effects that your kindness, your compassion may have on people. But it's there. It's like the Lone Ranger. Who was that masked man? They don't know. So when you give and forgive, when you're ruthlessly kind and generous, unconscionably, as I like to say, kind and generous, forgiving, you've not only helped maybe the person that's in front of you, but you have helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who are susceptible to that kind of goodness in their own life. And you have maybe changed the water into wine in their lives. Now, as far as the populace is concerned, we are filled on this earth with people who are mean-spirited and willfully ignorant and sustain this ignorance as long as they possibly can in as many different ways as they possibly can. They sustain their ignorance through greed and selfishness and pride, those kind of attributes, those daily kind of attributes. And there are more of them than there are of us. Many, many more. We're way outnumbered. It's been that way since day one on this earth, and it will continue to be this way until we are no more, whatever happens in our evolution or de-evolution or whatever. It's just going to go on and on and on. So the meaning of doing anything kind or loving is substantially important that it be here on this earth. There are scientific little nuances going on, as I like to call them, all throughout this world, day in and day out. There are processes, and something of these processes go unbeknownst to the human eye. And they go on in how a plant grows, how a plant is maybe seeded, and how it sustains its life. There are very compassionate and intimate ways in which nature takes care of itself. We don't see it, but it's a goodness. It is a beauty. And it is something that bespeaks of a tenderness that exists in this world and in this lifetime. And I say to you, Jason, when you start to awaken ever so diligently, ever so quietly, you start to see how everything in this world that is kindness, that is goodness, starts to work together for kindness and goodness. And the only people that aren't are people such as ourselves, the human beings that want more and are territorial and prideful and greedy. We're the only ones. It always moves me very deeply to learn in science and through the eyes of maybe a naturalist how beautiful this earth is and the way it can work. So it isn't all for naught, as you say here. Yes, eventually everything turns into what it turns into in this world, because in this world there is always going to be wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus spoke of, and he would be correct. But there's also that part of you where there is love, only love. And if you can give yourself over to that love, you have done a great service to yourself, the world, and humankind. Jason, don't turn into one of them. Be at least open and willing to do those things that most people would say, what good is it? It is good, and we need as much good as we can get into this world and give to this world. It doesn't matter how small it is or how long it lasts. It's just good. And think of it that way. Please forgive me. That would be good. Namaste. Next one is Catherine. She does not tell me where she lives. You say it is unimportant to worry about where we go when we die. Why? I certainly don't want to go to hell, Catherine. You know, I get a lot, Catherine, I get a lot of these little questions about dying and going to heaven or hell. I do. I get a lot of them. And I suppose it's a Catholic thing or a Christian thing. I imagine that's what it is. So I'm kind of looking at it like that. This is how people change other people or keep them in the church or keep them in a philosophy, whatever, in order to, well, be a part of the masses. And the bottom line is always money. So how they raise money. You can't really have a huge life of prosperity teaching things like love, kindness, forgiveness, in-depth work. You just can't do it. People are not interested in it. They're only interested in how they sustain their lives through ruthless need and cruelty. And that's just the way the world is. That you can't change that. It isn't going to change. But this concern about dying and going to heaven or hell is a manipulation of you. And none of us, well, is beyond that manipulation, I don't think, because we all have a susceptibility of feeling bad about the way we've lived our life or good about the way we think we've lived our life. And, of course, that brings pride. And there's all sorts of ways to combat the idea of the reality of how I have lived in this world. And we don't want to think about how we've lived in this world. We want to think about where we're going. So we live for the sake of where we're going instead of where we are. It isn't important whether you think you're going to heaven or hell. It really isn't. I do hospice work every week, and I watch people die quite often. And everybody dies the same, okay? They close their eyes, they leave their body. But in how they close their eyes and how they leave their body is always very intriguing to me. And it is speaking of a way of being either conscious or unconscious about the quality of how they have lived, how you and I have lived. So I have a little saying. I'm working on a commentary, believe it or not, on this. But I have a little saying, and it kind of goes like this. Where we are at any time, any given moment in our life, it could be the last moment of our life. And you want to do things the way you do them as though they are the last time you will ever do them, because basically it could be the last time you ever do them. This could be the last time you ever paint that house. This could be the last time you ever cleaned your room or made your bed. It could be the last time you did anything, made dinner, had dinner, saw someone. It is just the way life is. It is always in a flux and in a change. It is always unfolding. So, Catherine, it isn't important where we go. It's important where we are. It is important even beyond, you know, where we are to how we are with where we are. And a lot of us just don't appreciate that very much because we're not living consciously in our life. To live consciously means to live in the ebb and the flow of the meaning of our own existence. You say that I say it's unimportant to worry about where we go when one dies and why, because it doesn't matter. Now, your concept of life, your concept of God, your concept of the meaning of life is your concept. If you need to make this an issue, a deal, then you will. And that's all right. If that's the way you need to live, it's the way you need to live. But in the truth of the matter, it is whether or not I did any sense of real goodness in this world. Did I leave some sense of goodness in this world? Some sense of reality where I did something that was beyond my pride and my selfishness, my desire to want things to be the way I believe they should be. Did I go beyond what I call the beyond? Did I do that? Did I go beyond the beyond? And if I did, that is wonderful. And if I didn't, I still have time possibly to do that. And the way I look at it is, if I do everything as though it's the last time I do it, if I do everything and see people as though it might be the last time I see them, which it well could, and I'm kind and loving, I'm grateful, I'm humble, I'm forgiving, and I'm giving to them, then you have done a great service to humankind, and it's much bigger than worrying about whether or not you go to heaven or hell. Going to heaven and hell, or hell, excuse me, is what goes on here on earth. We make our own heaven. I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times from people. And we make our own hell. And I've heard that a million times too. But it's all true. We do what we do, what we do, what we do. And we give what we give, what we give, what we give to humankind. And we give it in a way in which is loving and kind, or we don't. So you make your own heaven and hell here. So is your life heaven or is your life hell? And what would define heaven and hell? Really, what would define it? A utopia where everybody does what they want to do or has everything they want or gets everything they want to get and everybody gets along and yada-da, yada-da. What is it? And is hell a place you go where you're being punished constantly for the way you lived? And could anybody talk you out of the hell of your own life anyway? Could they? I don't think so. I've seen people many, many times in my lifetime as a teacher do things that I warned them not to do that wouldn't be kind, and it turned out poopy. And you can't tell them because they don't want to believe it. But that need to be glorified in vengeance is a very, 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 very big narcotic in our life. It is literally a narcotic because helps us excrete chemicals in our brain that don't do us a great deal of good and make us become very vengeful and aggressive and unkind. And who's going to talk you out of that? Really, who is going to talk anyone out of that? There's such a high for being cruel in this world. Well, anyway, enough. Catherine, I don't really want to talk you out of your heaven and hell thing. If you need to believe that, if that works for you in some way, okay, that's fine. But I was hoping that I could explain myself with it and why it's not important to me. And maybe I did, maybe I didn't hear. I hope I did. And I appreciate you listening to even this. I think your tolerance of me in all of this and in talking about something that is probably pretty anti-religion is very kind of you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Yeah, a lot of people, the whole motivation of their life is, do I do it or do I not do it? You know, that kind of thing. And the last question, comes from Kenneth. He does not tell me where he lives. What is this body for, Greg? I mean, really, it does nothing but torment me most of the time. It either brings me enormous pleasure or enormous pain, and it's always wanting something. Kenneth. It's emotional. The body is highly, highly emotional. It is an animal. And we have to see it that way. It is an animal that has great fear. And oftentimes when you are being pleasured or pained or tempted or whatever, it's about the body wanting to take center stage in our lives. All of us have this to some degree, depending upon the chemicals that are running through our body. And with men, it has to do with testosterone. And there's all sorts of melatonin and things running around in the human body. You have to kind of understand that it's a chemical reaction and you inherited this chemical reaction from your ancestors. So it's genetic. You have your basic DNA of survival. We're basically in this world just survivalists. That's all we want to do is survive and survive at all costs and at anybody else's cost. The weak have to go, you know, the survival of the strongest. So you have all this playing out in your juices, in your chemistry. And then you've got your body, which is kind of the patsy of it all, because it has to do with emotions. And the body can't help what the body does. It's like a petulant child. It just wants what it wants when it wants it. And it is always afraid of injury and sickness and death. And it's a separate entity all into itself. And learning how not to allow that to manage and garner your life into different scenarios that would be terribly painful and self-destructive is an art. It's an art form. And you have to look at it like, oh, my body says I'm hungry when I'm not hungry. I feel like I want to eat, but I'm not hungry. I just ate, or I don't eat anymore like that, or whatever you want to do. Food is probably the biggest one, because food is so easily and readily available for us at all times in our life. We can go almost anywhere and grab a burger if a person wants it. And, you know, you can eat when you're not hungry. And then when you're full, it kind of dulls that pain a little bit or dulls that sensation of urgency that we're feeling. And basically what you're feeling when you feel this emotional stuff that is going on, and if you're highly emotional, you're going to be hungry a lot and basically eat a lot, things like that. You begin to wonder, what is it that's eating me? That kind of thing. The body is always wanting something. It wants food, it wants sex, it wants security, it wants happiness, it wants carefreeness, it wants to do whatever it wants to do. And if you look at it, it's nothing but a playpen of pleasure. And you can live your whole life this way if you want, but if you and I do, We miss the meaning of our life. And somehow you have to find a meaning beyond the pleasure pain syndrome that the body brings forth out of our emotionality. And that's just what it's all about. And I'm over time and I got to get out of here. Oh, what a wonderful set of questions I had. I hope I gave them the honor they deserve. Anyway, be back on the air tomorrow morning. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.